everybody. Welcome to Fired Up California. I am William Del Pilar, your California conservative Latino, breaking down some of the bigger stories as well as some that have gone under the radar. Tonight, it's all Newsom and the tragedy he is, or is it a black comedy? Take your pick. But before we begin, don't forget to click the thumbs up and like while you listen. And make sure you bookmark grumblingsmedia.com and check out our new swag there. We have t-shirts, mugs, and hats, and support our all-volunteer cause here. Then follow us on your favorite platform like YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, under the handle Grumblings Media. And with that out of the way, let's get into it and what I call the Newsom Watch, power plays, pressers, and presidential positioning. What I'm going to be doing is tracking Gavin Newsom's weekly maneuvers from crime optics to censorship flops. Why? He's building a national profile and he's testing the waters for a 2028 run. Yeah. We still have the 2026 midterms to come up. But regardless, every press conference, lawsuit, and task force is part of the script. And when in the news, I will cover it. Gavin Newsom isn't just governing California, he's auditioning for Washington, D.C. This week, he mocked prayer after school shooting, expanded law enforcement, launched a homeless task force, got smacked down in federal court for trying to censor satire, and warned that Donald Trump might refuse to leave office in 2028. Thus, the comedy. He's trying to put on a masterclass in political theater, selective data, strategic outrage, and nonstop national positioning. Let's break it down. Prayer mockery after the Minnesota school shooting, faith as the punchline, crime suppression surge, law enforcement expansion versus crime denial. You can't have it both ways, fool. The SAFE task force, homelessness optics versus systemic failure. Deep fake law struck down, his censorship collapses, and satire wins. And then obviously TDS, the Trump 2028 meltdown, fear-mongering and projection. I want to start with the most serious of the stories. Newsom mocks prayer after the Minnesota school shooting. Faith as a punchline. So as we know, last week Gavin Newsom posted, or rather last week was a Minneapolis tragedy, the school shooting. And then Newsom posted on X, quote, "These children were literally praying as they got shot at," unquote. Obviously referencing the fatal shooting at Annunciation Catholic School in Minneapolis and mocking prayer because the first thing we as Christians do is pray for the souls of the lost individuals as well as praying for compassion, to have compassion towards those still here. He mocked that. Two children, 8-year-old Fletcher Merkel and 10-year-old Harper Moisky, were killed. 18 others were injured during mass. Newsom's comment was a direct response to White House Press Secretary Karoline Leavitt, who was defending prayer after Jen Psaki's disgusting MSNBC rant. Quote, "Prayer is not freaking enough," unquote. Well, Jen and Gavin, maybe if we had had some protection at that church, like the Catholic leadership had been begging Tim Walz, because transgenders and others are targeting churches and schools, rather, like this. Give me this stupid nonsense. Jen Psaki, you are a disgusting, vile piece of trash. A miserable person. Maybe a little bit of God would help your soul. The backlash wasn't just political, it was moral. Faith leaders, conservatives, and grieving families, we all saw it as a direct attack on our belief. Now, Newsom's post obviously amplified Psaki's rhetoric and mocked the victim's final moments. The truth is, this wasn't a critique of policy, it was a swipe at prayer itself, at Christianity itself. Vice President J.D. Vance responded, quote, "Why attack people for praying when kids were just killed praying?" Unquote. Governor Kay Ivory of Alabama called their rhetoric evil and said, "Prayer works, Governor." Speaker Mike Johnson, quote, "The problem is a human heart, not prayer," unquote. Damn right. And Newsom, Mayor Fry of Minneapolis, Jen Psaki, their hearts are black, vile, and evil. And recently, because there is no GOP pushback, the left has shifted from just immediately moving to gun control talking points to now open mockery of Christianity, especially prayer. This isn't the first time over the last few years this has happened. They mock because faith is a higher power than government. It unifies, it gives hope, and demands accountability beyond the state. It reminds us we will be accountable once we leave this plane. They want government to be the sole provider of comfort, truth, and control, and in essence, to be that higher power. It's no different than the Soviet Union. They seek to remove God because belief systems threaten centralized power. Prayer is dangerous to them, not because it's ineffective, but because it's independent. Now, Newsom's defenders claimed he was criticizing political inaction. The timing, tone, and target say otherwise. He didn't challenge policy. He mocked faith during a time of grief. He used dead children to score ideological points. Now, my friends, to reiterate, this is a pattern of escalating online trolling and ideological performance from not only Newsom, but Democrats in general, with Jen Psaki, with Mayor Fry, with Gavin Newsom. That's not leadership. It's cruelty dressed as commentary. Newsom has increasingly weaponized tragedy to bait headlines and provoke outrage. Faith isn't the problem, Governor. Your contempt for it is. With the Minneapolis Catholic shooting, Newsom didn't just politicize a tragedy. He mocked prayer itself. Two children were killed while praying, and he used their final moments to shame belief and faith. The backlash was swift and deeply personal. This wasn't a policy critique. It was ideological rot. California deserves a governor. Let me repeat that. California deserves a governor. What we got is a South, old Jim Crow South mentality. Governor Newsom is what we have. We deserve a governor who respects faith, not one who weaponizes grief. Our presidents must respect faith, not weaponize grief. We went through one useless excuse of a human being with that already, or in Obama. Now Newsom's wanting to pick up the reins. There are over 160 million Christians in America, 62% of the population. They mock us because we won't get violent. You'll never hear them talk about Islam this way. They'd fear for their lives because they do get violent. We don't. They know our restraint is rooted in faith and compassion, and they exploit it. The real failure? The GOP won't take these truths straight to the people to expose how godless the left has become. And I tell you this, in California, with all the Latinos here, most of them of Catholic upbringing, that's the most powerful tool you can find, and yet our own California Republican Party refuses to use it. And now's the time. Gen Xers are turning back to God and Christianity, but the GOP has grown godless in many ways themselves. What's that mean? That means we must do it ourselves. We must take a stand. We must speak boldly. Human nature will follow. Why? Because people crave hope, meaning, belief, and yes, faith. But we must also kick and drag the GOP with us. And if they won't move, we replace them with leadership that respects our faith and fights for it. Newsom's had a big week. Crime suppression surge. Law and order or campaign optics. Last week, Newsom announced a statewide expansion of California Highway Patrol crime suppression teams to combat retail theft, vehicle theft, and organized crime. He claimed it was a strategic success, but the timing and framing tell or paint a different story. CHP teams deployed to high crime zones, LA, San Diego, Sacramento, the Bay Area, and more. The truth is, you don't flood the zone unless the problem is out of control. And we know it's been out of control since they made felonies misdemeanors and let the inmates run the asylum. That is, the crooks control the narrative, and they back it. If crime were truly under control, this level of deployment wouldn't be necessary. Then to back himself up, yeah, I got the science, I got the science here. Give me Newsom, I got the science. He cited a 12.5% drop in violent crime and a 20% drop in homicides in California's major cities. The truth about this is that those numbers are cooked. The books are cooked. I mean, right now you're seeing odd Democrats. Ooh! When you bring up the book, the crime stats are cooked. D.C., New York City, Chicago, California, all the major urban cities are cooking the books like we've never seen before. You know why I know? I know cops, and they tell me it's a constant battle. There's always a senior person who's going up the political ladder who wants to minimize the stats. Nah, that murder, nah, it's involuntary manslaughter. What murder? I didn't see anything. I mean, I'm serious. These people, that they reduce it. So the numbers are never truly true. And it's even worse in Democrat urban centers today run by governors or mayors who have higher ambitions to be governor, senator, etc. They're the ones who are going to cook the books worse. California is one of the worst states in the nation for submitting crime data to the FBI. Did you know that? I think you probably did not. In 2021, only 2%, I repeat, only 2% of California law enforcement agencies turned over crime data to the feds. That year, San Francisco, none of its 7 agencies reported crime for that year. That's called cooking the books. If you don't have the data and the input, you can't use it and you can't give an actual number. And if they're not reporting it to the feds, they're not reporting it within their own books. Felonies are routinely downgraded to misdemeanors. We all know that here in California. Crimes go unreported because victims know they won't be prosecuted or taken seriously. And cops reclassify serious offenses to pad their own stats or out of frustration. They just don't go to the crime scene anymore. You want to know how many times I've been told cops won't go to a domestic abuse situation? One, because the DA won't prosecute, usually because the wife recants. And they won't go because they say that is the most violent scenario they can put themselves in. It's nothing but emotional hatred on steroids. And then the hatred shifts from the woman towards the husband to the woman towards the cop when the cop decides to arrest the husband. And these aren't isolated. They tend to recur over and over and over because it's the same people. And it just keeps growing in our population today. If it's not reported or prosecuted, it doesn't exist on paper. But the streets tell a different story. Now, officials touted the success of previous CHP deployments in Oakland, Bakersfield, and San Bernardino. Now, here's the truth. The temporary crackdowns, they don't equal long-term safety. If these aren't placed there permanently, these programs, the cities will continue with rampant theft once the cops are gone. Drug trafficking will continue. And repeat offenders cycling through a broken justice system will keep showing up. Now, this is a legitimate issue with Trump's D.C. crackdown, too. What happens once the National Guard leaves? The difference here is that Newsom and the mayors of these urban centers have the power to make permanent change, but they won't. They choose optics over overhaul. And to top it off, during this press conference that Newsom was talking about this, he used that press conference to mock Trump's federal tactics, claiming California partners with cities while Trump undermines them. Then why were business owners in L.A. happy that the National Guard was there? Why are D.C. residents thrilled that their neighborhoods are being cleaned up? You see videos all over the place. I can drive with my car window open at a stoplight. I can pump gas with my car door open. We just had somebody who left their car door open running with 3 kids in the back. Somebody jumped in and carjacked the car. police chase with three kids in the car. That is Newsom's California. Yeah, he's mocking Trump's federal tactics. The truth is, Newsom sued Trump over federal troops deployed in 2020. Why? Because he wanted the riot. Oh, he sued over 2025, the LA police riots. Why? Because he wanted the riot to continue. They were hoping to kickstart BLM 2.0, the Latino version. Now he's deploying state law enforcement himself in nearly identical fashion. The difference, he calls it a partnership. Again, Newsom, residents of D.C., like those who lived through the 19, as well as those who lived through the 1980 stop and frisk era in New York City, they applaud the surge. When you talk to residents who live in those actual neighborhoods, they love it. Peace comes. They don't live in fear walking from down the road, down the street. They don't live in fear that their kids aren't going to get taken. Or hell, they don't live in fear that their kids are going to get arrested. They know their kids don't be going down there. They're arresting now. It turns out people want value and love law and order. Value. Why the hell did I say value? Justice. People want justice and they value law and order. Even Mayor Muriel Bowser, who initially resisted Trump's federal takeover, is now praising the results. An 87% drop in carjackings and a 15% overall crime reduction. And there were no homicides for 2 weeks. That's like the lowest number in like 20 or 30 years, something to that effect. Now, is this true love between Bowser and Trump? No, not really. It's political survival. Bowser knows the voters are responding to this safety and love it. And Trump's crackdown is delivering it. At the end, it doesn't matter. It's a partnership. And it's not undermining D.C., it's restoring D.C. Then he showed charts comparing California's crime rates to red states like Mississippi and Louisiana. Here's the truth about that. This is what you call playing the numbers. It's not cooking the books, because technically he's true. It's true. But what he fails to tell you, the high crime in those states comes from Democrat-run urban centers. Just like every other state. In Louisiana, it's New Orleans, a Democrat stronghold for generations. I don't know if they've ever had a Republican mayor. One of the highest homicide rates in the country, and a Soros-backed DA who's refused to prosecute entire categories of crime. In Mississippi, it's Jackson, Mississippi, run by Democrats for generations, and in 2024, it had the highest homicide rate in the nation at nearly 78 per 100,000 residents. These are 100% run Democrat cities. That's why those numbers are there. Do you think Newsom's interested in telling you that truth? Hell no. His implication that red states are inherently more violent ignores the fact that the worst crime is concentrated in blue run cities. The state map is red, but the murder map is deep blue. Now, he framed his surge as strategic, targeted responses, not a reaction to widespread crime. The truth is, that's what you call strategic spin. If crime were isolated, you wouldn't need a statewide deployment. This is a reactive move dressed up as a proactive leadership moment. Newsom's playing both sides with this crime suppression surge, claiming crime is down while flooding cities with suppression teams. It's not about safety. It's about optics, narrative control, and national ambition. California saw over 200,000 reported violent crimes last year, yet Newsom cherry-picks data from cities that barely report. Hell, in 2021, 98% of California law enforcement agencies failed to submit crime data to the FBI. If you don't report it, you can pretend it's not happening, or as Newsom will, it's fixed. Tell that to all the grieving families, to the grieving widows, widowers, about their dead kids, dead spouses. That's not leadership. It's statistical fraud dressed as reform. The SAFE Task Force. Clearing encampments or clearing headlines. Man, the Newsom news, it's like shooting fish in the barrel in terms of what he says. Oh, here's the truth. So, once again, recently, past week, I believe, Newsom launched the State Action for Facilitation on Encampment Task Force. Let me repeat that. He launched the State Action for Facilitation on Encampment Task Force. In other words, the state's going to take care of the homeless. He did that to clear homeless encampments from state property. It targets California's 10 largest cities and coordinates multiple state agencies to enforce sweeps and offer services. Newsom framed it as urgency with dignity. But the numbers once again, the outcomes once again, and the investigations tell a different story. First up, he's going to target encampments on highway medians, overpasses, and rights of way. These are the most visible encampments. You see them when you're driving down the freeway. I see them all the time on the 15 going south. The truth is that these are the most visible encampments, meaning this isn't about solving homelessness. It's about hiding it. In San Diego, for example, Caltrans cleared a major encampment off I-5 only for it to reappear two blocks away within 72 hours. And so you don't see it while you're driving down the road. Oh, look, they cleared that out. They doing something, honey. Oye, mi amor, ellos están limpiando. No, all they did was allow it to get moved down the road where you can't see it. Some of the agencies involved, California Highway Patrol, Chips, or Eric Estrada, and Larry Wilcox when you need him. Hey, just on the FYI, Larry Wilcox is actually a conservative. He hasn't come out and said it, but I follow him. And all his posts tend to lean conservative. Anyway, Caltrans is also involved, Health and Human Services, Housing, Emergency Services, and many more. What's this mean? More agency means more mouths to feed, more money goes to many of these organizations that don't use it as they should. Now, the biggest guilty parties are the nonprofits. The NGOs, non-government operations, organizations, non-government organizations. So the NGOs, the nonprofits. But so in LA, the Homeless Services Authority burned through $800 million in 1 year. Yet they couldn't account for how many people were actually helped. How many people were actually housed? Let me rephrase that. And on top of that, their executive director made nearly $300,000. $260,000, not counting bonuses, made that annually while the encampments grew. Think about that. Remember, $800 million in 1 year. The executive director earned $260,000, not counting bonuses, and the encampments grew. Now, he did focus on 10 largest cities, which is applaudable, commendable. L.A., San Fran, Oakland, San Diego, Sacramento, San Jose, Long Beach, Anaheim, Bakersfield, and Fresno. These cities have received billions. In San Francisco, the city spent $1.2 million to house six people in a tiny home village. Let me repeat that. San Francisco, the city spent $1.2 million to house just six people in a tiny home village. That's $200,000 per person with no long-term plan. It was framed as urgency with dignity, offering housing, mental health care, and substance use treatment. I just can't get over it. I'm sorry. $200,000 per person, $1.2 million for six people. Damn, that's the homeless living large off our dime. So again, he claims this is urgency with dignity. They offering housing, mental health care, and substance use treatment. That's bull. That's based off housing for first, which ignores addiction and mental illness. They allow them to live in housing and allow their addiction to continue and their mental illness to go untreated. You know, you want proof? Go look at some of these hotels that the homeless have set up. They set up drug dens. drug buys. They do nothing. So, but they say we must have housing first. Let's get them off the street into the houses, the apartments, the hotel rooms, the homes we build. All they're doing is moving them from the streets to give them more comfort to do their illegal activities. They're not helping them. What it should be is no treatment, no accountability. I'm sorry, what we're seeing is no treatment and no accountability. So all of this follows an executive order all the way back in March and a court ruling that expanded the authority to clear encampments. So he's doing this under legal cover. Hey, it's not me doing it. The courts are making me do it. But he's not doing anything to fix a broken system. He's kicked back into his crony supporters while the homeless situation continues to grow. There's no new plan with his latest iteration of wanting to help the homeless. So in Sacramento, they cleared encampments, were relocated the motels, $120,000 per room annually. I'm going back in the past what's happened. That's going to continue. $120,000 per room annually. Many sat empty while nonprofits pocketed the overhead. Newsom claims California is outperforming the nation on homelessness, citing selective data from LA and Riverside. The truth, California leads the nation in homelessness by far. Over 171,000 homeless residents statewide, nearly a third of the entire U.S. homeless population. HUD flagged over $1 billion in mismanaged funds. Think kickbacks. Political cronyism. Nonprofits routinely take 60 cents on the dollar after salaries, bonuses, and consulting fees to friends and family. What they do is they don't put that as a separate expenditure. They put that as part of the programs and services. Thus, when they look at salaries or administrative expenditures, you're only looking at about 38 to 40 cents on a dollar. But when you break down those programs and services, that's where you find the big salaries, the bonuses, all that. And it pops up to about 60 cents. So think about this. Every dollar given to them, 60 cents is going in somebody's pocket. Some of it's necessary. But most of it's greed. How do I know this? I worked in the nonprofit field. I saw firsthand the arrogance of those who would come in late, demand the highest salary possible, who would leave early, all in the name of, I'm doing the work of God. I'm doing the work of the greater for the greater good. So I deserve to be able to do all these immoral activities and look in the mirror and say, or rather rationalize it away. The SAFE task force is not solving homelessness, people. It's staging it. California has spent over $24 billion on homelessness since 2019. I sound like a broken record, but you must never forget that. $24 billion on homelessness since 2019. Yet we still lead the nation with more than 181,000 homeless residents. Did I say 170,000 before? It was right, 180,000 right around there. Up by over 30,000 in 5 years. In LA alone, again, $800 million vanished in 1 year, and nonprofits skim 60 cents on the dollar. Oversight is collapsing, federal investigators are circling, and Newsom's task force is nothing but a campaign stunt dressed as compassion. Taxpayers aren't funding solutions, my friends. They're underwriting corruption. Newsom in the news, number four. Governor Newsom, deepfake law struck down. The Babylon Bee wins and Newsom loses. So on August 30th, a federal judge struck down two anti-deepfake laws aggressively pushed by Governor Newsom. Governor Newsom, who doesn't think a baby is far along to abort. That's why I say that. He reminds me of Governor Northam of Virginia. Governor Newsom, kill that baby. That's my philosophy. That's Governor Newsom. Anyway, I'm digressing. The Babylon Bee and X sued, arguing the laws censored satire and violated free speech. And they won. And Newsom's censorship crusade, ripped from the pages of Orwell's 1984, met the Constitution head-on and lost. So what am I talking about here? Y'all are like, well, deep fake. Hey, yeah, what you talking about, William? What you talking about, boy? It was triggered by a viral AI parody video of Kamala Harris that was shared by Elon Musk. Newsom's crackdown was personal. Had to protect Kamala. Horizontal Harris. I don't think Newsom ever got horizontal with her. But he did with his best friend. And he'll screw this country as easily as he screwed his best friend's wife. Never forget that. Regardless, Newsom saw parody, but it was effective parody, panicked and tried to outlaw mockery, and the Democrat legislature acted. That's not leadership. It's thin-skinned authoritarianism turned into law by a crony legislature all too happy to act on it. Power corrupts, absolutely. And that was in the form of AB 2655, required platforms to label or remove materially deceptive AI-generated election content. This wasn't about protecting voters. It was about controlling the narrative. The law gave politicians the power to silence critics under the guise of misinformation. Who gets to determine what misinformation is? We know when the Dems do it, just call it lies. All of our conspiracy theories we were accused of being part of have proven to be true, starting with the most infamous of them all, the Russia hoax. Then there was AB 2839 that banned distribution of deceptive AI content 120 days before an election. That's 4 months of pre-election silence. The bill didn't target fraud, my friends. It targeted dissent, satire, and parody. Shades of monarchy and the kings. It was a gag order dressed as reform. Newsom bragged about signing the bill, saying, quote, "It's critical that we ensure AI is not deployed to undermine the public's trust through disinformation, especially in today's fraught political climate." For those that can't understand me, it's critical that we ensure AI is not deployed to undermine the public's trust through disinformation, especially in today's fraught political climate. He sure bragged about it in elegant terms, but the truth is that's the language of control, not transparency. Newsom wasn't worried about trust. He was worried about losing control of the message. Kudos to Judge John Mendez. He ruled that AB 2655 violated Section 230 and AB 2839 violated the First Amendment. The court didn't just reject the laws. It dismantled the entire premise, Newsom's entire premise. Quote, "The government cannot preemptively sterilize political content or dictate the canon of comedy," unquote. And that's a direct rebuke of Newsom's censorship agenda. Now, the Babylon Bee joined the lawsuit from X with backing from Alliance Defending Freedom. The Bee wasn't just defending satire, it was defending the right to mock power. Newsom's laws would have neutralized political humor and handed the state editorial control over online speech. Shocking. Newsom didn't just support the AI deepfake laws, he championed them. He wanted the power to scrub political content. He wanted the power to silence satire. He wanted the power to punish dissent. He wanted the power that King George V had. You know, the guy we fled England from, the found America. That's not democracy, it's dictatorship. A would-be emperor with a legislative body doing his bidding. The court's ruling wasn't just a legal defeat, it was a rejection of Newsom's worldview. A worldview where the state decides what's funny, the state decides what's true, and the state decides what voters are allowed to see. Damn! That's shades of Panama and Noriega and Torrijos, two dictators I saw growing up. California dodged a censorship regime, and Newsom got exposed for what he is. A man who would be king. All right, let's close it out first with, where am I at? Oh, yeah. Here we go. Let me show you guys what we got here. We got the classic Grumbling coffee mug. This is a big old 15-ouncer, and I'm enjoying mine. I love our logo. I encourage you guys to swipe the code there. I'll leave it up for a minute or two. or you can just head on over to grumblingsmedia.com and support our all-volunteer project here. We are all volunteers. Nobody's taking a dime, and it's costing me and my partner thousands of dollars to do this, and we don't mind, but your support would be very helpful. So let's get to the final story, the Trump 2028 meltdown, fear-mongering in prime time. This was disgusting. At a political summit in Sacramento last week, Gavin Newsom warned that President will attempt to stay in office limit, fear-mongering with no pushback by the pathetic excuse of a man. He's a duck with a C. He's a pajama boy. He's a vajayjay. Because he didn't push back. Newsom cited Trump 2028 hats he's received, a painting of FDR, and alleged private police force. The audience laughed, and then Newsom scolded them. This guy wants to be taken seriously. This wasn't Newsom's first meltdown. He even called a special session in 2024 to Trump-proof California. That session produced nothing but headlines, but it cemented his role as the anti-Trump candidate in waiting. He claimed to receive over two dozen Trump 2028 hats from supporters. Look, the Trump organization sells novelty hats. Newsom treats them like evidence of a coup. That's not analysis, it's paranoia. And now that he's crying about it, they'll probably receive thousands by the time you hear them watch his podcast. That's how mockery works. He accused Trump of building a personal police force using immigration agents. The truth, this isn't speculation, it's a lie. And the reason I say that is that that's how it was presented to me. Oh, he's speculating that way. No, it's not. He's stating it as fact and he's lying. ICE is a federal agency bound by law. Newsom's claim is pure fiction, science fiction, Orwellian fiction, designed to stoke fear and cast himself as the hero who will save us all. He is the heroic foil. I am Gavin Newsom. I will do to you, United States of America, as I did to my best friend's wife. Screw you over. Screw you hard. He suggested agents could be sent to polling places to influence elections. Again, a flat-out lie. No evidence, no nothing. He's inventing scenarios that sound like dystopian thrillers. He's projecting. He's accusing Trump of the very tactics his own administration flirts with. Then he talked about Trump's election denialism in January 6th as proof. Look, Newsom's leap from past chaos to future dictatorship. I call that political theater. You should too. He's not warning voters. He's baiting headlines. Look, January 6th was real. But the truth that's coming out about January 6th, Democrats in the mainstream media conveniently ignore that. Those with TDS are the worst of the lot. Let's not forget the Democrat J6 committee destroyed key evidence after it was said and done, so we couldn't access it after they lost power. And the J6 committee also refused to hear from witnesses who could refute the party line and the mainstream media spin. That's not conjecture. That's fact. That's out there now. We now know the truth that that happened. And now the truth about Lieutenant Michael Byrd, the man who shot Ashley Babbitt, that's surfaced. Babbitt was unarmed, posed no threat, but Byrd murdered her. He's not just a flawed officer. He's a corrupt, contemptible, vile human being. It's been documented about his misconduct, recklessness, including leaving a loaded Glock in a Capitol restroom. And he also refused to answer investigators' key questions. And, of course, they protect their own. He was shielded by secrecy and double standards. They hid his identity for months. And in a final insult, he played the race card to deflect criticism for killing an unarmed petite Anglo woman. Newsom is inventing dystopian scenarios while accusing Trump of the very tactics his own administration would see happen. It's projection, plain and calculated. Then he recalled a February Oval Office meeting where Trump allegedly admired a painting of FDR, implying a third-term ambition. Look, admiring FDR, why he would, I don't know, but that doesn't equal plotting a third term. Newsom's interpretation is nothing but speculative at best, manipulative at worst. It's a kind of narrative spin you'd expect from a campaign strategist. Ain't that right, Governor Newsom? Now, Trump responded, Trump's always trolling. Probably not, but I am popular. That's not a plan, it's a throwaway line. That's classic Trump trolling. Just like when he joked about Russia checking Hillary's emails. Democrats, especially the idiot Bill Maher, turned satire into scandal. You would think Bill Maher would recognize satire, would recognize trolling. But his TDS is so deep, he's up the ass of TDS so bad, he's going to stink till he dies. Newsom's doing the same, twisting a vague comment into a constitutional crisis. It's alarmism built on air or hate. Newsom's Trump 2028 meltdown wasn't a warning. It was a campaign pitch. He's projecting authoritarianism that Democrats began with who? Obama's presidency. And that's rooted in FDR's centralized rule. All while rehearsing his own national rise because he sees himself as the man. The 22nd Amendment is clear. Two terms, period. But Newsom's rhetoric isn't about law. It's about leverage. He's not defending democracy. He's exploiting fear to elevate himself. California deserves a governor. Focus on facts. We deserve a president who focuses on the people, not fantasy projections of Trump in year 12. Before we go, Real quick, let me show you my favorite shirt. Latinos for Trump. ¿Quién es el más macho? Todos nosotros sabemos quién es el más macho. Trump es el más macho. Oye, ustedes pueden ir a grumblingsmedia.com. Gotta throw my accent in there. Grumblingsmedia.com. And support our all-volunteer project with who's the most macho man around? No, not Randy Savage. It's Trump, el presidente. You swipe the code there and or head on over to grumblingsmedia.com and check out our swag and support our volunteer cause here. And that's this week's Newsom presidential campaign comedy tour. Yes, I want him to win the nomination because he'd be an easier beatdown than Jimmy Carter in 1980 or Barry Goldwater in 1964. Don't know what I'm talking about, young uns? Look it up. From crime suppression to encampment sweeps, censorship flops to Trump hysteria. Newsom's week wasn't about governing. It was about positioning. Every task force, lawsuit, and soundbite is part of a larger audition. He's not solving California's problems. He's rehearsing for a national stage. And if this is the preview, America better brace for the full comedy show. That's it, people. Thank you for listening. And don't forget to like and share the podcast. And remember these stories when politics come up. Press the voter to remember what Democrats have done. And I always say this, the California Republican Party cannot be counted on. So it's up to us, the people, to fight our battles. Before I go, hit like or thumbs up and share with this podcast. Then bookmark grumblingsmedia.com. And while you're at it, check out our new swag again, please. YouTube, Rumble, Apple, Spotify, ePandora, under the profile Grumblings Media. Until next week, this is William Del Pilar for Fired Up California. Stay vigilant, stay safe, and get involved, my friends.